We run the desert podcast.
I like that.
We run the desert podcast. We run the desert.
Guys, it's We Run the Desert.
Yeah, that's perfect. All right. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of We Run the Desert. I'm Chris, and today we are lucky enough to have local athlete Chris Morrison, aka Chris Morrison Runs. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, of course. And I wanted to bring Chris on today. We want to talk through a little bit about social media, pros and cons, posting as a runner, things like that. Before we dive into that, though, interestingly enough, Chris and I have never met in person. I wanted to take this opportunity for him and I to kind of get to know each other and talk through our backgrounds and really tie that into how social media has played a role in that. So, Chris, if you want to kick us off just with like a little bit of your background and then how you got started in running and trail running.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started running back in 2012. I had gone to rehab for alcoholism in March of 2012. And when I came out, I had like some extra time on my hands and I wanted to like pursue some type of healthy outlet, healthy goal. And I'd been active like prior to starting to drink, played basketball in high school, hiked all the time. But once I started boozing, that all kind of fell by the wayside. So I wanted to get back to being active.
Background in sports of some sort.
For sure. And so I was like, I kind of want to have a goal that I'm working towards, achieve something that I can be proud of. And so I came straight out of rehab and I like signed up for a half marathon with like no distance running experience. I don't even know why I picked it. I think it was like a low barrier to entry. Like I just needed shoes, some shorts and like go run. So I signed up for the half marathon. I downloaded like Hal Higdon's free novice half marathon for beginners plan. And I did it. And then I was hooked. And then I wanted to do the marathon. And then I was doing every race, 5K, 10K there was. And this was all up in Alaska. So, yeah, I was born and raised in Alaska. I've been here about 8 years.
From Alaska to Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah. And we moved in like May of 2016. So it was like already hitting 100 degrees
right before
here.
Summer. Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, I made a terrible decision. Oh, is it okay to cuss on here?
Yeah.
I'm not you're like good, I'm going to turn you're the good. Air blue, but
no, you're, okay. You're all right. Usually it's me, the one who's cussing okay. all the time.
Yeah. And so I did that. I did like the road running stuff for years and I kind of got like burnt out on it because it became all about performance to me, which is silly because like, it's not like I'm winning races, you know, but like if I didn't PR my time at a marathon, I'd be pissed instead of like happy that I accomplished this race.
It turns into like, you're trying to finish something, but then at the same time, this is a great example of like, it is a race for yourself, right? Cause you want to do better on a distance. It turns into that. And then at some point you're like, oh, maybe I can do really well in this race.
Right.
Which is like an evolution to it.
Right. But it was singularly focused on that. So it was like positive or negative, like based on how fast I went in the road distances. And that's kind of why I gravitated to like the trail and ultra world because going these longer distances, it became more about like adventure to me and like how far can I go and not how fast can I go. And I've never finished an ultra that went really well or really bad. And I was like upset about it. I was always stoked. Like if it was really hard, I was stoked that I got it done.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously if it goes good, it goes good. You're happy about that.
Did you just to back up a little bit and we don't have to make this whole episode about as my dog's chewing on the mic cord, about, you know, your sobriety and things like that, but having a goal, was that a big part of coming out of rehab and like having a sobriety, not only having a goal, but also like, were you worried at any point that the addiction side of what you were going through before was going to bleed into like this new passion, even though it's positive, you know what I mean? But I have the same like personality. Yeah. So I've definitely had to watch it with running.
I think it has. And I think it does. I think it still does.
Yeah.
And I justify it by it being a healthy pursuit or a pursuit that's not ruining my life or destroying my life. But absolutely, I have a tendency to just go all in on things or want to do something to an extreme level. And I know we'll get to it, but like even the social media stuff, I can fall into that. as well. dogs chewing on the cord. But yeah, but ultimately, like, the trail and ultra stuff just became much more fulfilling to me on other than just like performance based speed, you know, just being out in nature, being out with awesome people or my friends and completing these crazy distances. Like, it just, it checked a lot more boxes for me.
Did you notice a difference in the community as well? Like, when you went from starting these road races to trail races?
I didn't have community when I was doing road races. Okay. I was really like a solo runner, ran by myself, trained by myself, would just show up to these races. I didn't really know anyone. I wasn't involved in like any group runs or clubs or anything like that until I got into the trail world. And that's even just been as of the last couple of years.
Okay. Yeah. And what side of town do you live on?
I live in Chandler. I live in like almost northern part of Chandler, like almost Mesa.
So where do you usually run? Like, where's your trail?
South Mountain.
Okay.
South Mountain's the closest. It's like 15 minutes from me. I'll go to Usury sometimes too, because it's only another 10 minutes of driving.
Just to switch it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Luckily with South Mountain, you have like so many different trails and like different terrain too.
Yeah. And I'm super familiar with it. It's like when we first moved to Phoenix, we lived right there in Ahwatukee. Like, I was a 5-minute walk from the Pima Canyon trailhead.
Okay.
So like, that's where I started trail running, learned about, you know, how to trail run and stuff. So it's special to me too.
When did you go from, so you were, you came out hot, you're like half marathon doing road races. And then when did you start racing in on trail?
I didn't do my first trail race until 2021.
Okay.
I did the Crown King Scramble.
Holy shit.
For my first ultra. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, shit. I got asked by multiple guys if I was like a fucking idiot in the middle of that race when they found out it was my first one. But that was just, to me, that was the idea of the ultra, was like, you're going for something big and challenging and like
something hard,
you know? Yeah. It's 50K, which is like the lowest distance, but there's a ton of climbing in that race.
I would not call that like a easy 50K
entry level. No,
yeah, for sure.
No. And that's what I wanted. And I wanted to be like out in the mountain. I didn't want to be at some local park doing loops. You know, I wanted to have that experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Point to point out in the mountain. So
when you, to kind of dive into the social media aspect of things, when did you, how did that play into you becoming a runner? And like, obviously that's not your only identity, but like, coming into the running scene and especially trail running, like, how did social media play a part in that?
So I wasn't really on social media in the capacity that I am now. Back then, my account, up until 2.5 years ago, my Instagram account was just my personal account. It was just some family, some friends. I would just post whatever I was doing. I'm at a concert. Here's a picture of my kid dog or whatever.
Just for like updates for family.
Yeah. It was not like this running focused, account. I'd been doing ultras for, I think, about a year before I decided that I was going to start posting specifically about running and, trying to build that account up and like showing my training or whatever. It's been only probably 2.5 years or so that I've been doing that. But doing that has been awesome because that's what has opened up the door to like all these connections, friendships.
Yep.
Like, all my trail running friends or running friends in general are guys and girls that have like hit me up on Instagram. Hey, we run at the same trail. Like, let's go run together.
Because of your posts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all from that.
And I was going to ask too, like, what do you get out of that? But I think you just answered it with that. It's really the networking with people, and that's the positive side of social media in my eyes, is that if we can make those connections, like, it's much easier than without internet. We wouldn't have a way to like reach out to like, see, hey, they're at this trail. Like, I run there too. Like your example, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm, it's helped me be much more outgoing. I think I'm naturally probably more introverted despite what it might seem like online. And so it wasn't really in my personality to like start showing up to group runs and like getting to know people that way. But having people reach out to me and ask me to go out and run with them, that was kind of what really got me like out of my shell and got me being more social and more social with running, for sure. And that was a unintended consequence, not consequence in a negative way, but that was just not something that I thought I was going to get out of it. I was just gonna start posting my running stuff, start posting my training, build this account up, knowing that there was gonna be opportunity in that, not knowing what those opportunities would be.
Yeah.
And that was just one of the unintended things. It's been like the coolest thing, you know, just far as like a personal, not like monetary or anything like that.
Yeah.
Just for personal growth. It's been really cool.
I noticed you had a blog as well.
A long time ago. Yeah. I did a blog like years ago, probably 3 years ago, that I maybe did 10 entries on. And then
was it running though?
Yeah, it was running. Okay. I was documenting.
I did the same thing. So that's why I asked. Cause yeah. I was like, it helped me in different ways too, to have this blog, and like, especially after races, I would just jot down everything about the race
yeah.
and like get it out.
Yeah. I think the idea there was I was documenting my build up to like my first ultra.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't even know if I don't think I even followed through all the way to my first ultra, but it was something I did for a few
still
weeks.
Like a, I think, well, and like the overarching theme is like, for me, we're similar in that social media helped me to kind of break out of that shell, network with people. And then also dog's trying to drink the NA beer. Also, get out my thoughts on races or runs that I've done too.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I think, I was doing that blog like back when my Instagram was just my personal Instagram, you know, it wasn't something that I was doing
for running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How has your social media strictly with running like brought on negative things as well? Like there's always that side of
yeah.
the dark side of social media.
Yeah. I've been really fortunate that I don't get a whole lot of negativity on there. I don't get like a whole lot of negative comments. I think a lot of what I post is usually just pretty positive, or I'm just trying to make a joke.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm not trying to stir the pot. It does happen. I did a post like 2 weeks ago, and it was just a silly reel about wearing a running vest and like all the crap you put in your running vest. And I'm just showing, oh, I put this in there, and making jokes about it. Like,
which is relatable.
Right.
Yeah.
Like wet wipes, you know, and just making funny comments about it. And the thing went quote unquote viral, got like a million views.
Holy shit.
And you know, 75% of the comments are people laughing. They get the joke, or they're like, oh yeah, I throw this in mine too. But there is probably 25% of it that's quote unquote real runners telling me that you don't need all that stuff to run this far, or
everyone's got
to
have an opinion.
If you lost some weight, you wouldn't need to take all this because you could run faster. You know, I'm getting more of it now as it gets bigger.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I think just my personality, like that stuff doesn't really get to me.
Yeah.
I figure anybody who's posting something negative or hateful to some stranger on the internet is like probably not doing too well themselves, and is not an opinion that I really need to take to heart.
Yeah, for sure.
And typically what I do is I just take those comments and I turn them into another reel. You know, I'll highlight the comment and do something funny off of it, or post it up in my stories with my response to it, you know, just have fun with it.
And originally it was meant to be funny, and you're kind of turning it into like another funny.
Exactly.
You're making light out of it.
Yeah. But thanks for that additional content idea. Now I'm going to use this as more material.
I saw too, specifically the vest one and the response, and then also, people making comments about like how big you are as a runner, which is like, to your point on that post, it doesn't even have to be like a negative thing. Sometimes it's like I'm trying to think of how to say this. Like, it's like a, you're just bigger than normal runners.
Yeah.
Right. And then like I've gotten the same thing where I've never been like lean. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm like short and stocky, and I think people that make comments don't realize that even if it's not a negative thing, you're probably super annoyed by always being like, wow, you're so tall or whatever. Yeah.
And the height part is part of it. But like, yeah, I mean, I'm 6'5" and I'm like 285 right now. So like, I am usually one of the bigger guys out there. And that post that I made the other day was, you know, not even specifically talking about like the negative online stuff you get, because that's like easy for any random person that sees you and they're going to write something. But yeah, it was the ones that, and honestly, sometimes people think they're complimenting you. I've been told at every race, like, oh wow, you move pretty, you're doing pretty good for a big guy, for a big boy. And I don't necessarily think they're talking about only my height.
Yeah.
I think if I was tall and like 70 pounds lighter, I probably wouldn't get those comments. You know, I had a guy who was at the Black Canyon training run, asked me if my shoes break down faster because of how big I am. And it was just him making like casual conversation with me. But it's kind of like, bro, like that stuff can still be offensive because you don't know how somebody's feeling about their body. I don't walk up to anybody and say, you're doing great for a short guy, or you're really, that bald head must make you aerodynamic. You know, I'm not. So it always kind of takes me aback. And it was kind of just a PSA of like, you could just tell someone they're doing a good job or they're crushing it or whatever. You don't have to,
just as a general statement,
throw in some casual thing about their body type. But
it's getting wrapped up in the mic.
But yeah, but and going back to like the negative comments online, like I will say I did not expect the type of comments that I got in particular on that vest reel.
But
once they started happening, I'm not above, I'm petty enough to go in there and
clap back.
Oh yeah. And I've had probably 50 people either in the comments or DM me and say, hey, I thought your reel was hilarious, but I followed you because of your responses in the comments. And it's never mean, you know, but it's just kind of, I don't know, making people look foolish or whatever. I'm not above that.
I think it's interesting to me because as a short dude, like I'm used to all the short jokes, and I never thought, from like someone who's tall perspective, it's got to be just as annoying for someone to be like, oh, you're so tall. Whereas like from my perspective, I'm like, man, I wish I was tall. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
But it's like the same thing.
Yep. And I posted for probably 2 years and was really just showing me out running. I don't think I ever said like, look at me, I'm a big guy and I run. Like I was never branding myself as that. And as I got people commenting or DMing me and saying like, hey, it's awesome to see another guy that looks like me out there doing it. Like I thought this was only for, you know, super lean shredded people.
Yeah.
So realizing that people were following me just for that reason, I did start to lean into it more, but like, and like, I think I addressed this in that same post when I'm like, it's also different for me to say something about myself than it is for like somebody else to say it. But I do think me bringing it up from time to time online probably opens the door to other people feeling like, oh, okay, I can say something to them now. And there's an odd thing that I noticed. I mean, it's cool. I don't want to sound like I'm complaining about it, but people, I post like almost every day and people follow you and they follow you for a while. Like they start to feel like almost like they know you a little bit. And so, yeah, sometimes I think people will be like maybe a little too comfortable with some of the things they'll say.
Right. Like your best buddy that you've known for like 10 years or whatever. If they said something to you, it could be taken differently than someone who thinks that you're close friends just because you talk online all the time.
Yeah.
That's just another weird thing about social media and like that whole thing.
Yeah. It's kind of like a, you don't know me like that.
Yeah. Thing. Exactly.
But they kind of feel like they do, which I get. But
and luckily you're like aware of that and you're a good enough dude to just kind of be like shake it off. And
It is what it is. I don't think I've ever like scolded anybody in person or anything for that. I'll just
think
about
time?
It and then rant about it online later on.
Yeah, exactly. And make a joke out of it.
Right.
What about I noticed you had like Feature Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
What was that all about?
I just decided like my account had, really it's been in this last like calendar or 12 months that it's really kind of grown. Like it was 2,000 followers a year ago about this time last year. So it's up to like 23,000 now. So it's really taken off. And I just had this platform and it was literally just me wanting to like put a spotlight on my friends and like, and give them a little boost and just like give them some shine. It was nothing more than that. Like I don't really get anything out of it personally, but it was just a fun way for me to say like, you know, all my buddies that I run with here, I think I've done one for all of them now and just what races they've done, what they got coming up, like how we know each other and, you know, and they see a little boost in their following and it's fun for them. And it was meant to be like nothing more than that. I did one for Kylie, my coach. So
that's very similar to why like the thought I had around the podcast and when we started the podcast was I have so many good conversations with people, whether it's about running or life or balancing, being a parent and like all these things. Why not record it and have everyone be able to listen to these conversations? Right. That's all it ever was for me. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like very similar, almost like a way to give back without.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I'm like, I always want to like support my homies and bring my homies along with me. So like if I'm the one that has a bigger platform and I can and do that. And some of these guys are, you know, wanting to grow their account and grow their following. So if I can do something to give them a little boost, then I'll totally do that
to help.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
And you won Pacer of the Year award.
I did.
That's fucking cool. That was like the coolest thing I saw on your social.
So Ultra Sign Up does these like, I guess, annual awards. There's like five categories and one of them was Pacer of the Year. And Michelle, who I paced tech. So Pass Mountain 50K is a race that they do here in November. I'm sure you're familiar with it. So Michelle had signed up for it and she was stressed about like hitting some of the cutoffs. And I think she's about 2 weeks out from the race and she had voiced that she was stressed about it. And one of our mutual friends, Ruth, I don't know if you know Ruth Stewart. She volunteers at like almost every Aerobite.
Probably event. By face.
Yeah. She volunteers at like every event, but she doesn't really do a lot of races. So she just has like a shit ton of credits, like stacked up race credits from volunteering. And so she hit me up and said, hey, if you'll run this, just run this race with Michelle and like keep her company or keep her on pace or whatever she needs to like make it a, you know, good experience for her, I'll just donate my race credits to you and you can, so you can enter the race. Cause like in a 50K race like that, you can't have pacers.
Yeah.
So I was technically entered into the race. I was an entrant using her credits and I just did the whole race.
Dude, I've seen that Michelle. So many times.
Yeah.
Like where people will sign up with a friend and just run with them. So it's like a pacer, but unofficial pacer.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we did that. And Michelle, unbeknownst to me, she nominated me for the Pacer Award. I didn't know until Ultra Sign Up posted it and had a whole summary of the race on there. And then I just campaigned for it. Like I was like, vote for me. I was putting it in my stories. And it's just once you're nominated, I think there's five finalists in each category. And there's just a popular vote, whoever gets the most votes in like a 2 week span. And there was some like crazy pacing stories. I will say just like on merit, I did not deserve to win that award. There were some people that had like some guy paced his wife on like, I don't know what it was, a 50 mile race or 100 mile race or something. And he'd never run more than like a few miles in his life. There was somebody who a guy or another person who would pace their friend on like multiple hundreds. You know, there were some really cool stories.
Yeah.
I think I just really lobbied for the votes harder than anyone else.
I've been in that situation. I get it.
But yeah, it was cool. I got a little swag package from Ultra Sign Up and I got to go on their podcast and do like a quick little like 10-minute kind of interview
with the other award, the people that won the awards.
It was, I wasn't with anyone else, but they did like a, I think like kind of like a compilation episode.
That's cool.
Where they had all the winners. You get 10, 15 minutes to kind of tell your story or whatever.
So you say your first race was Crown King. Your first ultra was Crown King. And that was in what?
2021.
2021. Mm-hmm. So since then, what, just to like briefly dive into it, what races have you done and what's been your favorite? And then also, what do you have coming up that you're kind of looking forward to?
So I've done, I've actually done Crown King two other times.
Oh,
I did
shit.
It 3 years in a row. I didn't do it this year. It was the first year I missed it. I just really loved that race and I wanted to make it like a perennial race and in the years that I could.
Which is cool because it was your first ultra
too. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this tattoo is this. Nobody can see it, but the ridgeline is the elevation graph.
That's awesome.
Crown King.
Yeah.
So it was just special to me because it was my first one. I've done like a bunch of other of the local 50Ks. I did Coldwater Rumble 52 miler in January of last year. That was my first 50 miler. And I did Man Against Horse last October, which was my second 50 miler, which was such an awesome experience. That's got to be my favorite race experience. Like, hands down,
it's definitely up there for me too.
Yeah.
And not even because the race is beautiful, Mingus is amazing, but the organization. And I remember getting done and like they made that dinner and I met the owners and like, it just felt like a real family oriented type atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly. I finished and there was like a bonfire and there was like live music and they catered like this Italian food dinner and did this whole award ceremony. And even the night before, during the race briefing, we all went out to Fane's Ranch and, there was a bonfire and people just hanging out. You're just like out there hanging out with like cowboys and runners. And it's just such a cool
cowboys and their horses.
Yeah. It's such a cool vibe. And just, you know, even just the start to me, like there's no start line.
Yeah.
You know, we're all just gathered in a field by a bush with some ribbons and the guy's kind of looks at his watch and is like, all right, go.
Yeah.
And then it's just, we're running through this field and there's like horses. And I'm like, this,
I felt
like
I was so in, cool.
Like Braveheart or something, like, you know? Yeah. It was, that's the most unique race experience like so far for me. I think it was like my 10th ultra. I think I'm like 10 in now or something.
Okay.
It probably including pass the pacing one.
And you get a buckle, which is fucking and you cool get a buckle, for a 50
so I got my first buckle. Yeah.
Yeah.
But coming up, I'm actually hopping into one of the night races next month. I'm going to do the 50K at Adrenaline.
Have you done a night race before?
Yeah, I actually did the Hangover last September, which was a 50K night race. I did that as a training run for Man Against Horse. I had like a 30-mile run on the schedule, and I would much rather do that in a race than like out on my own.
Yeah, where you have aid stations.
Exactly, and, supported and have the people. So this will be my second night race. I kind of hopped into this one on a whim. So I was supposed to do Black Canyon and Crown King again this year. I went all the way through like peak week for Black Canyon and then didn't race it and didn't go to Crown King. And so
I was also supposed to do Crown King this year and did not make it. So,
So this is, I really just kind of signed up for this one as like a palate cleanser, like to just get another race under my belt and hopefully like move on from feeling like bummed out that I missed my last two. And, but then the big one for me is Saddles 100, October 5th.
Versteeg's race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prescott.
Dude, I just like a week ago signed up for the 50 for that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I was just looking like 50 miler around that time frame, saw that and was like, fuck yeah. And then I saw he posts on there that if you did the 50 miler last year and this year, he'll give you a buckle. So I was like, motherfucker.
I saw that. All my buddies like went out and volunteered last year, course sweeping or aid stations, and they all got like free entries this year.
Oh shit.
Yeah, which is pretty sweet. That's, I wasn't able to go. We were about a month or so away from having our second kid, so it was hard for me to, and I had just done Man Against Horse, so it was kind of hard for me to take a whole nother weekend and go up to Prescott.
Yeah,
and those guys are all young and no kids or anything yet.
Have you done whiskey at all? Have you had a chance to do Whiskey Basin?
I did the 60K.
Okay.
In 2022, I think it was the year that they had to reroute it because of the fires. It was the same year they rerouted Cocodona, whatever that second year was. Yeah, but that'll be so Saddles will be my first 100 mile attempt.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, and then
you're allowed pacers for that.
Yeah, right? But not until mile 50.
Okay.
So, but you got it's a 34-hour cutoff. So
is it also on either all over part of the Prescott Circle Trail?
It looks like it's mostly on the Prescott Circle Trail.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it a lot either. So I just looked at the course description for this 50K like this weekend, and I've been signed. I always start looking at the course details like 2-3 weeks out from a race.
I usually look like, if I have no familiarity with it, I usually look like days before the race.
Yeah.
Like I almost like going into it not knowing too much.
Yeah. If I feel like if I go in and I'm like have too much of a plan or I'm trying to keep it too structured and anything goes sideways, it's gonna mess with me.
Yeah, like overthink it.
Yeah, so I'd rather just go out there and go for the ride.
Yeah.
Granted, with Versteeg, there's not a whole lot of details on the race. I think that everybody that did the race last year got the race manual and the finalized course like a month before. I know he's reversing the loop this year, so it's going the opposite direction from last year, but I don't think any of that's been like updated on the website.
I did briefly look at the website and it looks pretty bare, and I think he has up there like look at the 2023 information,
right,
and that's it.
Yeah, and reverse that.
Yeah.
So I think it was like 12,000 to 13,000 feet of climbing total, I think, on the course last year, so I'm assuming it'll be, I don't know,
around
reversing it changes it that much. but somewhere around the
same. That seems pretty doable for 100 miles too.
I don't know. I've never done a 100 miler, so I don't really know what to expect.
Me neither.
But I'll find out.
Me neither.
I figured the 34 hours sounds like, because I think some of them are like 30 hour cutoff. So I think it's doable for sure.
It seems more like a race that is geared to people that just want to come out and like run the distance. And obviously there's going to be people who are going to compete and do great, but
yeah, I think that's the kind of the vibe he's going for. It's just like old school, just come out, like enjoy the day, get the mileage done. You know,
he seems like such a cool dude too.
You know, he, even in his race manual from last year, he's encouraging you like, hey, if you need to like knock on someone's door to get some water, stop at this gas station.
Yeah, I saw that.
Get a Slurpee, like, yeah, make a day out of it, make an experience, an adventure out of it. It's just like what I'm in it for.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not out there trying to race or win or anything like that.
Yeah, same. Did you, was there any thought into picking that as your first 100 miler or just timeline?
Time wise, you know, I knew that I wanted to do one this fall. I will probably do it, but I'm not super interested in doing Javelina.
Is it the loops?
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Which I've talked to Eve about that, and she was saying it doesn't really feel like it because there's such big loops and you're running at different times a day. But it's still, yeah, it's still just the loop thing that's really, really kind of made me want to like look for something else for that first 100 mile experience.
Yeah.
I'd like to do one big loop, not see the same terrain, like feel like I'm going on this big adventure.
Or like an out and back. Mm-hmm. That would be my ideal. Yeah. Like a Black Canyon 100 miler would be the ideal.
Run it back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Those are really the two factors.
What changes with... This is a very general question, but what changes with planning for your first 100 miler as far as your training goes?
I don't know yet. So
you're also training through the summer. So that adds a bit of,
right.
Yeah,
I don't know. So like all of February and most of March, I didn't run at all. I had stuff going on. I wasn't running. I wasn't posting online. That all kind of just fell by the wayside. So I spent all of the end of March and then all of April just with no real training plan, like not working with Kylie specifically, like having her coach me, just going out consistently five times a week and doing some long runs and just kind of getting my base back. And then with this month, or with May, I've got that 50K like right in the middle of the month. So it's kind of hard. I'm not really doing any 100 mile like training because it would kind of just, the month would look like taper into your 50K and then recover from your 50K. So the plan is June 1st, I'll get back with Kylie and we'll be like focused on getting ready for saddles, you know, 4 months training through the summer. And so then I'll find out what it's going to be like. But I trained for Manningham's Horse like all of last summer.
Yeah.
And last summer was gnarly.
It's doable.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks, but it's always going to suck. And then the shitty part about it is if you don't train through the summer, there's a lot of good races in the fall.
Yeah. Right.
So like,
yeah. That's the thing. And I purposely, up until last year, I don't think I'd ever done like an early fall race because I didn't want to like train hard through the summer.
Yeah.
You know, I'd still go out and run, but it was kind of just doing whatever I wanted, like whatever you want to call it, an off season or something like that. But yeah, there's a lot of them that you want to do in the fall. You have to start getting ready through the summer. But like I said, last summer was so gnarly with the heat. I figure if I can get through that, I can get through another one.
Yeah, for sure.
Just go early, and I do a lot of like shorter loops on my, even on my long runs, so I can stop by the car and
set up your
get
own
ice
station
and refill water and keep cool. And
I was gonna ask how you mitigate that too. So you just go as early as you can, and then
I think last year there was times we were going 4 a.m. 4:30, and it was still 95 degrees.
It's still hot.
But when you got 20 miles or 25 miles, and just loop, fill up the ice bandana, you know, put ice in my sleeves, just refill the waters, pour water on myself, whatever. And we also did quite a few of our long runs up at Mount Ord.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it's not super far for me. I think it's about 50 minutes. But you can go get vert, and it's beautiful, and the temperature is like drastically different.
Yep.
So we took advantage of that. We probably did 5 or 6 of our long runs out there.
Do you have like into the looking glass without putting pressure on it, do you have bucket list races that you someday want to at least experience?
Yeah, I have one that I'm actually going to be attempting much sooner than I thought. So
after are you good talking about it at this point?
Yeah, I'll talk about it. I'll talk about it now and then I'm not talking about it anymore. So after Saddles in October, my plan had been in the back of my mind that I would do a 100-mile race this year. I'd probably do at least a couple more next year. And then in 2026, I would give Cocodona a shot, the 250. On Friday, won a giveaway. So I have a free entry into Cocodona for next year.
For 2025.
For the 250. So I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a
I've thought about it too. 5 days, and I've never even done 100. 5 days, essentially, to complete 250 miles. Mm-hmm. So in my, like, the dumb part of my brain, I'm thinking if I can just do 50 miles a day, I can do this. I can sleep if I want to. I'll have time.
Right.
So have you talked to Kylie at all about, like, what that looks like, what her experience was?
Yeah, so I ran it by her. So when I found out I won this giveaway on Friday, my immediate thought was, like, I'm just going to go for the 250. Like, what, you know,
I'd be like, it's a sign, dude, if I won
exactly.
That.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, what if I wait till 2026? Like, what if something happened? What if I get an accident and I can't attempt this? Like, I just want to attempt it.
What if they don't do the race anymore?
Right.
Yeah.
Or it becomes a lottery. Like, who knows?
Yeah.
So I just want to attempt it, like, when I can. And so I messaged her before I committed to the distance, because I could pick any distance that I wanted.
I forgot they do different.
There's like a 38 miler and then there's like the 125,
yeah,
which is like the back half of the course. But I was like, if I'm going to get a free entry, I'm just going to go for the,
yeah.
And it felt crazy committing to that when I haven't even done a 100-mile race.
Nah,
yet.
That's not crazy. I've thought about it too.
You co-sign it.
I've thought about it too. I haven't done 100 either.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I messaged Kylie, I texted her, I said, hey, I just won this. I really want to do the 250. Like, is that completely stupid? And she was like, no, it's totally doable. Like, you have a year, but I want you to, like, focus on Saddles 100 in October for now. So it was kind of like, yeah, commit to it, sign up for it, and then, like, forget about it.
Yeah.
Until you need to focus on getting preparing for this 100 miler, doing this 100 miler. And then we'll go into,
I like that,
into that. And it's awesome because she's done it.
Yep.
You know, so I'll be being coached by somebody who has that insight.
Yep.
I know a handful of people who have done it. Some people, and even some people that are just online, but they've done it multiple times. So I'll have a lot of good resources. And, I know plenty of people that are already, like, volunteered to crew and pace and stuff. So I know I'll have the support. So, like,
I got to be a part of it,
like,
man.
Why not go for it? Like, what? I don't know what I have to lose by going for it.
Really nothing, especially right. With a free entry.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
Yeah, I don't know how much it is, like, before all the price increases start kicking in, but I just looked it up because I was curious. And, like, right now, if you want. Well, yeah, I think today's last day you could sign up is, like, $1,500 just to get into the race.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was more than that.
So did I.
Yeah.
It still
actually doesn't seem that bad for $250.
For what it is.
But also, like you said, if I had a free entry, I'd be like, fuck it.
Yeah, let's, why not? And it's a year away.
You got to lose. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I'm used to running in the heat and I'm used to, you know, running in Arizona. So yeah, I'm just going to go for it.
Oh,
but
shit.
I put the, you know, when I won the giveaway from Cocodona, it was like Cocodona and Tanry, I think is the brand. They're like a sunscreen brand.
Okay.
They were the ones that collabed on this giveaway. So when they announced it in the stories, I put it up in my stories. And then once that expired, my plan was like, I'm not going to mention this online. I'm not going to put, like, coming up next in my bio, like,
and here we are
nothing
talking about it,
until after October. But I'll talk about it here. But yeah,
it's official now. Shit. Yeah.
I was that happened Friday. So then I went and ran with some of my buddies on Saturday and that's like all they wanted to talk about. And I'm like, shut up.
Yeah. We're done with this. Oh shit. That's cool.
Yeah.
I've thought about, like, with Kylie too, just the fact that she's done it. Like, even if I didn't do it, I'd love to just pick her brain about it. And we talked a little, she was on the podcast. We talked a little bit about it, but man, I don't know. It's intriguing. I feel like ultras become a different thing when they get to that distance. And I'm similar to you where I've been at points where I've been competitive and, like, somewhat fast, but I'm never going to win races.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer the adventure aspect mm-hmm. of something. I like to be able to stop and walk and hike on my long runs. Mm-hmm. I like not having the pressure of feeling like I have to run the whole time. And I feel like Cocodona or any race of that sort of distance kind of becomes something different than a trail race and more of an adventure.
100%. Yeah. And that's kind of what my thought was too. And, yeah, I think that's the appeal to me. It's like the longer you go, it's like, it's not even about like speed to me. It's just about completing the distance and like having that experience. And honestly, like I look at it, it's probably gonna be more like a through hike than it's gonna be, running.
And look at the people who historically have done well in that race. Mm-hmm. They have that through hiking background.
Right.
So that just gives me even more hope. I'm like, well, shit.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to like, I feel foolish talking about it because I have no experience in doing
you're
it.
You're in foolish and, company. So
and no experience even doing a 100-miler, but I have had some people already reach out to me and tell me their opinion is that the 200 distance is almost easier in a way. Like, yes, you're out there a longer period of time, but like you can sleep, like you have a lot more time to get it done. You know, like you said, like, so 100 miler, you've got 30 hours maybe.
Yeah.
200 miler, you've got 5 days. So you've got more time. You can sleep. You can sit down, like eat a whole meal. Like it's not,
there's no pressure.
Yeah. Well, you're not,
at least it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. You're not probably having to like move as quickly as you probably feel like you need to move even in a 100-mile race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. We're done talking about
Cocodona. That's what they say.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm talking out my ass saying anything about it, but
focusing on saddles, not talking about Cocodona, but also that's fucking cool. Yeah, and I don't think it's crazy to talk about doing a 250 before doing 100 at all. And maybe I'm biased because I think about it all the time, but I'm just like,
nobody's told me it's a bad idea yet. So everyone's just like, heck yeah, go for it.
What's the 50K you're doing coming up? What trail is that at?
It's at McDowell.
Okay.
I don't even know the.
Well, not like what trail, but what mountain.
Yeah, it's at McDowell. I mean. Okay. It's like four loops. It's like two big loops and two smaller loops.
All right.
So it's a looped course. But yeah, that's more just so I can go get another ultra under my belt and feel like I'm an ultra runner again because I haven't completed one since October.
So with Cocodona being official and part of your bucket list, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Other than races, is there like places that you either have run and love besides here or that you like want to go either do a race in or have an adventure in?
Yeah. I mean, there's all of my ultras have been here so far. I really want to go back up to Alaska and do one. I lived there for like 31 years and all of my running experience there was just road running. I wasn't into trail running. I didn't even really know trail running and ultras were like a thing.
Yeah.
And they have some races up there. There's like a Hatcher's Pass one. That's like a totally self-supported, I think 50 miler.
That's cool.
So I'd like to go back up there and do a trail race. And even just here, like I haven't gone down into the Grand Canyon yet. That's something that I really want to do.
My favorite thing when people say that on the podcast, because I'm like, I want to book it. Like, I'm like, let's fucking go.
So you've done it.
It's sure, amazing. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like something that you can't, I'm sure you've heard this so many times, but it's something you can't explain. You can't describe it until you're there.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, those are the ones that come to mind. I haven't really looked outside of Arizona yet. The only other like bucket list race that comes to mind is like Western States, which is probably just about every ultra runner's, or at least the ones that want to do 100 milers bucket list.
I mean, it'd be cool. I don't know if I'd put it on my bucket list.
Oh yeah.
Maybe just because of the history.
I think that's my reason for it.
But I feel like I'm more of a, if I could choose tomorrow, this is hilarious, but if I could choose, hey, you can do Western States or Hard Rock, like I'd take Hard Rock all day. I feel like the mountainous,
That's one I didn't really think of, Hard Rock.
But again, like those ones. Impossible, at least for someone like me to even think of ever getting into a race. So it's like, have you ran much up at, I know you mentioned Ord, but up in like Payson Pine area, like up on the rim?
No, not at all, actually.
That would be really cool too. I think Moog someday, even if it's like the Mogollon Monster, even if it's like the shorter one, or even the 100 miler, like that'd be something cool to look at too. Because for you, especially not being up there, it would be like, it would blow your mind. It's like a whole new terrain, whole new area.
Yeah, I need to branch out more because like pretty much almost all of my trail running and training is like done here in the valley, you know, and I've done a couple races like up in Prescott, but yeah, definitely start branching out a little more.
Especially if you're going to Ord. Drive a little longer and hit up some runs on the rim for sure.
Yeah, I need to.
Maybe pace someone at the Moog 100.
Yeah, that's a good
idea. That would be cool.
That's in like September, right?
Yeah. I'm signed up for the 42K. Oh, I don't even know when it is. September something. I'll worry about it then.
That's how I am. I get it.
Hell yeah. I feel like with your... I can't stop bringing up Cocodona now. I feel like with your social media presence, though, once you finish saddles and you've done your first 100-miler and you start gearing up for what's next in general, like, again, and maybe this ties it all together, that will help you with getting ready and like posting about Cocodona and this, and I'm sure with saddles too, like leading up to saddles, even starting now, it'll help you to kind of post about it and like your training gearing up towards it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how your blog got started too.
Yeah, that's the plan. That's kind of the plan is like, especially once June starts, really just kind of document my training and everything leading up to saddles. And then after that, I'll probably do like the official announcement or whatever on social media that I'm going to do Cocodona and then start documenting all my training for that. And it's cool because it's like I said, it's connecting me with people. You know, there's a guy that lives up in Prescott, and I've talked to him online a lot, and I met him at Man Against Horse. He's done Cocodona and he's doing saddles this year, and he's, you know, already hit me up like, hey man, come out here whenever you want and we'll do some training. Long runs on the course. You know, he knows the course and stuff, so all that stuff is going to be super helpful.
What's your plan for travel for saddles? Are you going to camp? Are you going to do Airbnb?
I don't know yet.
All right.
Yeah.
Keep me posted, because
I need to figure that out. I've got like, so of my core guys, there's like five of us that run together all the time. Four of us are all doing the 100-mile distance.
Hell yeah.
So, but then I've got my family in it. So it's either going to be like, I'll probably go up there and maybe get like an Airbnb or something with those guys. Might just do the hotel or an Airbnb on my own. If the wife and kids want to come for the weekend, I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. I've actually been being pressured by my wife to figure that out, because as much as I have a bad habit of like not looking at the course description until a couple of weeks before, I also have a bad habit of like not really planning the trip or finding anywhere to stay or anything like that until short notice, which stresses her out. So,
and everything's sold out.
Yeah.
Or like really expensive.
Yeah.
I actually ended up camping the night before Whiskey Basin one year because of that. Like, I waited till the last minute. There was nothing available. Slept in my car.
Oh shoot.
And ended up having a great race.
Oh, there you go.
So like, it just worked out. But yeah,
I'd much rather stay indoors than a tent.
Definitely.
Or a car.
Yeah.
And definitely will not be doing that if my wife and kids are with us. So.
Yeah, for sure. Dude, I spent a night camp. Way off topic, but I spent a night with my kids in the car, because we were supposed to be tent camping in Prescott, but it ended up being way too cold. And I felt like I was borderline like abusive parent by having my kid sleep in the cold. Yeah. So I was like, all right, everyone get in the car. And dude, it was just like, I'm in the front seat, like laid out. They're both in the, it was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Moral of the story, like travel preparation is just as important as race preparation.
Yeah. I'm not sleeping great the night before usually anyway.
Nah.
But especially in those conditions, I am bad about waiting until the last minute to plan that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's just how I am.
Yeah. Same. Dude, it's been awesome getting to catch up and getting to know each other. I feel like with the canyon and not being up at the rim a lot, like let's plan something.
Yeah, dude, for sure.
I got to train over the summer too. I'm doing the 50, but whatever runs we can get together, do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Thanks for coming on the podcast. Yeah,
appreciate it.
Thanks everyone for listening to another episode of We Run the Desert.